references is a cross reference to Exodus 3:14, where Moses said when he went into Moses said to God, "Who should I say sent me when I go down there into Egypt?" They don't know who you are. They forgot all about you. They're worshiping idols. You know, that's what he had in his mind. And he says, "Tell them that I am, that I am sent you."
Here she is. Here she is. He's sitting in a good chair. He has kept him up.
"I am that I am sent you," and here Jesus spoke it to these Jews. Alright? They got real mad at him, didn't they? Because he said that he was God. Jesus, don't ever think that he didn't say that he was God, because he did. All through the Bible. He was crucified because he said he was God. Remember that? Okay, John 8 and verse 56. We looked at that one. That was last week too. Let's go back and pick your brains and see what you got out of it. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Where did Jesus quote in the Old Testament? Now, only you that were here last week will know this. It's not written in any cross reference or anything else. That's straight out of Hebrew. And it's been mistranslated in every place I've ever seen, except in the very college that was here in their family. They didn't put it down there, but it is over there in the college. Exodus. Or Genesis 22:14. Go back there and cross-reference that one.
Hi,
Eddie. Genesis 22:14. See, this is such an important lesson, I wanted to review it just a little bit before we go on today. We're studying about the church age. We're going to study the miracles of the church age, how long they lasted, the essential elements of a New Testament church, what is it supposed to look like in the world today? Genesis 22:14, "And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide." Now that's probably a pretty good translation of that first thing, because actually, literally, what does it... Ed, do you remember what I told you last week and translated it from Hebrew? It's Jehovah Jireh. But what does Jireh really actually say in Hebrew? No. You got it backwards.
Well, we have written in Shabbat, and I wasn't here. So
all right.
Jireh
means to see to.
Oh.
That's what it actually means. All right. It means to see. It can mean to see to. That's to see to it. Have you ever told somebody, I'll see to that myself? All right. Now that's exactly what it's saying here in Hebrew. This is the Hebrew word picture is what it is. It's trying to tell you what it's saying there. The first part of the verse, the first part of that verse, Abraham called the name of the place. Now God provided the lamb, all right, for the sacrifice. They're up on the Mount Moriah. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That's what it says in Hebrew. But it could be translated in this first part of the verse, "The Lord shall see to it." All right? Because the word... Now, remember, those that were here last week, we look back and it says, "Abraham was glad to see my day." Why was he glad? I said, What is Jesus quoting here? Remember, I told you the greatest commentator on earth was Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. What? He was the greatest commentator. You can read a lot of commentators, but he was the greatest of all because he was the Word, the living Word. All right? First part of the verse, "The Lord shall see to it." And then, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." Now, that's what New American Standard says. But I gave you a different translation of that. It says, "In the mountain, the one who shall become was seen." That's exactly what Jesus said in the translation. That's how I said it should be translated. in the mountain. I don't think you're going to find that translation any place, but Bullinger, in his column, he comments on this thing, and he said, that verse should be, this should say this, but it doesn't.
Well, this King James is our closest, just a message that says, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that equals to you.
It shall be. Jehovah is not it. Right. See, it's not, that is a passive word. It is not, it shall be seen. He was seen.
It
shall be.
Yeah.
Okay. The verb is wrong. And the verb does not say that. In the mount of the Lord, Jehovah. And what does Jehovah mean? We come from the. It comes from the. I'm going to write this out in English for you. Haya. The Hebrew word Haya. And Haya means became. That's what Haya means, became. And that's the root. He who shall become. Okay, he who shall become shall become was seen. Now see what Jesus said about that. He's quoting this verse in the New Testament. Jesus said. He's quoting this very verse. John 8 and verse 56. This is just a little review because I wanted you to make sure that you have this one. This is real important. John 8 and verse 56. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament again here. And sometimes it says over there in the columns that you've got to study the Bible. It says where it's been quoted from. But this one just leaves it right there, basically. Okay. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, Jesus said. He's talking about himself. They said, you're 30 years old, and you say you're older than Abraham? I want to tell you something. God the Son is eternal. He had no beginning. Jesus did not begin when he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He was in eternity past. Remember? Eternity past. A couple of weeks ago we studied the lesson was before the beginning. Remember that? Before the beginning. What happened before the beginning? Well, Jesus Christ was before the beginning. Yet his pre-incarnate, what does pre-incarnate mean? Do you know what that means? Before he became flesh. Carnate, carne, that's flesh. Alright? Incarnate, in the act of becoming in flesh. Jesus, before he became flesh, walked in the garden with Adam. He did. Jesus didn't begin or become when he was conceived. He already was. He became flesh. John 1:14 says, God pitched his tent among humanity. John 1:18 in the original language says that he led himself out. Little voice. You know anything about languages, Barbara? Little voices and things like that? Where you have a passive voice, a little voice, an active voice, and all of those voices of verbs. Okay? Well, in Greek, and in Hebrew, there's a middle voice. You do it for yourself. Passive voice is done to you. See, we have passive voice to this verb up here. He was seen. See? That's passive voice. It was done to him. Now, in the middle voice, he did it for himself. Over in John 1 and 18, it says that he led himself out of eternity into time and the flesh of each time. God led himself out. Jehovah did. Jesus was Jehovah. Jesus was the one that would become. And here in this one, in the mountain, the one who shall become was seen. And Jesus is quoting it in John 8 and verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, Abraham was up there about to sacrifice Isaac. He had lifted the knife probably some old dull thing too, you know, had to saw on him for a while, get to his skin. Have you ever had to cut up meat with a knife like that? Sounds well. Saw and saw and saw.
That
would have been a rough death for that boy. This was his son. And he, God had said to you, sacrifice. Boy, when God, when he saw Jehovah that day, he was glad. Because he provided the land for the sacrifice.
Well, see? Abraham had the faith. That's what he was telling the children. The children were worse than him.
Yeah. God will provide.
Provide for himself and them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he did provide Isaac, didn't he? Yeah. A miracle child. He rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Oh, how he was glad when he saw Jehovah. Not only glad to be in the presence of God, which was probably a purple thing, but God provided that day the sacrifice. And not only that, he told Abraham, Abraham, I know that you fear me. I know that you respect me. But more than that is, you know, when you fear the Lord, he said, well, maybe that'll bring the fear of the Lord in your life, you know. There's more to fear than just fear. I mean, you don't touch a flame because it's going to burn, you know. You know that. How many of you just walked over there on top of a hot stove, you know, an old wood stove, and just stuck your hand on there and leave it? You don't do that. Fear tells you don't do it, doesn't it? I mean, you put your hand on there and it'll take. How many of you been going down the road with somebody in a bubble with a bubble gum machine on top just to flash in and slow you over? Your heart's getting a bunch of beats and everything else and runs out there with a little bag and just comes to your dark life. And you're all excited, but I mean, this takes its death. Well,
no fear.
But when they...
We are Christians.
What are you?
We have no fear.
Yeah.
Nothing can hurt us.
But now that... But the thing about it is if your adrenaline flows, but when somebody stops you, like when somebody just barely misses you on the road, you're going down the road, you look up, you're right coming right in your lane, the adrenaline flows, fear. But people hear about the Word of God, they hear about God's Son, they hear about salvation, and they just dust it off. You know?
Did you hear the stats on the radio yesterday and today? Everybody's ears and their hands hold is only 8% years before.
Yeah. 8%? Why? Do you think that's of God?
Well, I was hoping it was because they feel they're safe. And that's what
they don't believe. People don't believe. People can be stopped out on the road by some policeman and they'll be shaking their boots. But when it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, you're going to go to hell. They go well. That's a great. He is the judge. He is the great judge. I held me in court over there in Independence here a while back. They gave me a bad ticket. So I went and protested it. They threw it out of court, but he wouldn't let me have my say. He wouldn't let me answer him. He racked me over the coals for 5 minutes, and then, what do you have to say for yourself? And I said, I'm not guilty. And here's the letter from my sheriff. The guy where I live, you know. And he kicked me. Okay. You know what I mean? They didn't want people to hear that court raked over the coals. Well, because of what they were doing, they got it done again, too. After me, I wasn't the only one. Yeah, I have them. I have one for you. But the idea of it is that people are so afraid of little insignificant judges saying here, well, we have an eternal judge. They have eternal hell to face if they don't believe. Thomas, did you have your hand up? Oh. Yeah, the eternal judge. Who is that? Jesus. All right. Well, we talked here a while back. People are always saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you if you're born again. He
If you're not born again, he's going to be your judge. He is the judge. He is the one. In like flesh, he lives. He will judge you. If I save, he's not going to be your Savior, the one that loves you. He's going to be your judge. Do you love Jesus? Should be the same. Do you love Jesus? Not that Jesus loves you. Do you love him? Do you love him? Hallelujah.
All right. All right. Well, that's review. All right. Now, we were going to go back to Romans 8 chapter tonight. But before we go there, let's go do something else. Because it's so prevalent today. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, first of all,
we studied the rules of interpretation in the Bible. We want to know who's speaking here. Who's writing this letter? If you can figure that out sometimes, you want to know who's speaking. Who's speaking? Who's writing this letter?
Well, this is the Peter letter.
A what?
A Peter letter. A Paul letter.
A Paul letter, yes. Paul the Apostle wrote that letter. There's a reason for it, too. But we're going to get to who's he writing it to?
To the people who live in the town of Corinth.
To the churches of Corinth. All right.
In Greece.
Corinth, yes. He's writing to the New Testament churches there. They have been doing wrong. This is a letter of correction, not of a praise. This is a corrective letter. Corrective. What do you do when you go in for glasses? What do the glasses do for you?
Correct your vision.
Correct your vision so you can see. You know, I'm sitting right here today without my glasses. I can't see up close. That's why I don't wear my glasses. I can't read my Bible if I'm not alone. But you people have four eyes. You don't know that, but I'm looking at two of you, I remember here a while back I watched a show and it was a show called Tombstone. Bob Holliday was there, and he came out there, this guy, this actually happened back in history. Bob Holliday came out there, and he got the Earth to kind of cleaned up Tombstone. And by the way, they were both sheriffs for this kind of year. Both the landlocker, they lived here, and they were sheriffs for this time. They were out there, and this guy had just killed the sheriff. He shot him down in cold blood. White Earth went out there and thumped him over the head with a gun, like he did so many times those people. They were outnumbered by these outlaws, and they were a gang of
Red Thatchers.
They were actually like a mafia, like these gangs in these cities today. That was what they were, gang members of this mafia group. They went out there and they were trying to stand them off and trying to arrest this guy who killed a man. And Doc Holliday comes out there and he's pretty drunk. And he has two guns on him. They say he was so fast he couldn't see him gone. All he knew was a gun fire. Well, he did most of the time. You just hardly heard the report. You didn't even see the draw. Anyway, this guy stands up here. He said, "You ain't nothing but a piano player. He said, "You probably see two of me." He's pulling out his guns like this. He said, "I got one gun for each of you." Well, that's why I, at a distance, the way things look, I see the two of them. Eddie. I can put my glasses on. I see you out there fine, but I can't see your Bible. And I'm kind of in a stage right now where nothing's working. My glasses just aren't working. I can't get any. I'm going to go see about getting some other ones. But one of these days, the Lord's going to correct my vision all the way. And the Apostle Paul was trying to correct how these Corinthians saw the Word of God and God's instructions. They didn't have, what was the Bible that they had at that time?
The
the Old Testament only. And this was the writing of the New Testament, and we have this letter today to correct us, correct our way that we look at things. All right, when you go to an orthodontist, what does that person do? Correct your teeth. All right? Corrective viewpoints. The Apostle Paul speaks some strong language here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be brainless." He used that word again. Remember, we saw he called people brainless one other time. That's what it says in the original language. I don't want you to have not a... He says to be no brain. Or brainless, literally. To not have a brain. To not have a thinker. I want you to think now. I'm calling attention to some things. What's he called? In this letter here to the Corinthian church, they've got a problem. What is the problem? This problem that he's addressing right here, this, the next two chapters, actually. What is the problem?
We were arguing with him that some people pretend to be real God, but were to be telling God through the Holy Spirit gives them different gifts.
What's it say there? What's
when they were Gentiles, they were carried away with these dumb idols.
But what does it say right off the bat? That's the second or third word that says that. Now concerning
spiritual gifts.
That is the subject. What is the stuff? The spiritual gifts. But what about spiritual gifts? It was the misuse of spiritual gifts. That's what the story is about. Okay. The misuse of spiritual gifts. Let's find out what the world is talking about. This happened back then. When we quote something here, we're going to have to go back and find out what he's talking about. Acts 16, chapter verse 16. Paul met a person with a spiritual gift that was overall the Spirit. We're going to study that. Then we'll go back into the book of Kings. Look at something over there. All right, Acts. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, right now, though. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Got so many notes about this thing. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I'm reading from the New American Standard, but I will translate some words here that should be different. First of all, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant or brainless. Unable to think on this subject. That's what it means. Brainless. People call people brainless today. That's kind of a, you brainless wonder, what are you doing? You know, people get in arguments. Paul is arguing with the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts now. Now, he's inspired of God to write this letter, and he's trying to correct them, okay? You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. However, you were led. What was leading them? What was leading them astray to dumb idols? How many spirits are there in the world today? The spirits of God and the spirits of Satan. Do you think the Satan spirits don't have power? They have a lot of power. You know, God wants people saved, number one. And he wants saved people grounded in the truth. He wants people to know that you're saved forever, always. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It is of God. And once he gets you saved, he wants you to serve him and give your life to him. You're reasonable servant for what he's given to you. All right. He thinks. Now, if Satan can keep somebody from being saved, that's great. He's won in that area. But if he can take a saved person and keep them from glorifying God with their lives, he says, ha ha, that's God. Ha ha, you saved him, but I got him. See? You saved him, but he's mine. He's not glorifying you. You were led astray to dumb idols. Idols that couldn't even speak, but they were led by spirits. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Now, back then, accursed. Look at that word. What does that mean? Accursed. Anathema. Eddie, what does anathema mean? We studied that one here a while back. We nailed things to the wall, didn't we? That's right. Something that cannot be redeemed. You know, these people that were, some of these spirits, were saying that Jesus was accursed. He was anathema. Well, that wasn't the Spirit of God, was it? No. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Today, we live in a complicated world. There are spirits out there that are not of God, saying Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Oh, yeah. But so did other prophets of God. You know, I was reading a book tonight, the book of, actually, the dictionary for the Book of Mormon, that Joseph Smith was a descendant of Jesus Christ by one of his wives. By one of Jesus' wives. Now, Jesus came in the flesh, according to them. He did. But see, they say he came in the flesh, don't they? Do they deny that?
No.
What else did that say besides that? A lot of other things, too. You have to really find out what's going on. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. He's more than Lord. He's despot. He is, you know what the word despot means? Despote.
Usually not in the connotation of Jesus.
Well, he is the despot in the whole world. He is the one, a despot. What is a despot?
The guy at the top of the hill.
Someone that has vanquished the conquered and rules over him. Jesus vanquished death. And here we go with that. That's what the death is all right. Genghis Khan actually conquered
Israel.
He actually conquered. Alexander the Great conquered the conquered in it. Alexander the Great conquered the world in 14 years. People don't want to answer to anybody today, do they? They want to be free. I am my own person. And now what you hear day after day after day after day? Nobody can tell me what to do. I tell you what, when you're born in this world, you're told what to do for the day you die. And you may as well get around to that and just admit you're going to be told what to do. You're not your own person. And when you're born again, you're not yours. You've been bought with a price. What? Bought with a price. Yeah. Bought and paid for. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. He said, we're talking about the Spirit of God now. He said, you people were led by spirits of demons before you were saved. And you know what he says? You're led by spirits of demons today. Because you're being led to do things that is not of God. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the good of all. For the good of all of who? Well, really, but who's he talking to here? He's talking to a local church. To a church. The gifts of the Spirit were gifts to the churches. What was the first gift placed in a church? In the church. Before Pentecost, by the way. What was the first gift placed in the church? The first gift placed in the churches of the apostles. We're going to look at that a little later, but that was the first one. All right? And that's when he chose 12 apostles and put them in the church as apostles. sent out with authority. It's apostello, that's what it means. Okay? Manifestations of the Spirit for the common good of the whole, for everyone in the church. All right? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, this is without study, by the way.
They were living in a brand new age, wasn't it? The age of the church. The age of Israel, of the law was passed. God set new rules to them. The Bible says Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But that's not what we're talking about here, is it? Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He was the same before anything was ever created, before all was done before the beginning. And he will be the same in eternity future. He hasn't changed, he will not change. Okay? But God's dealing with people changes. And God was changing, he's laying new ground and new rules now. He's the Gentiles are going to be his administrators in his kingdom. Alright?
Alright, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Another, faith. By the way, that's an eternal gift that's still going on today. You might mark that one, circle that one. That's real important. Another, faith by the same Spirit, and it's another gifts of healing by the one Spirit.
Healing, this was a gift also that was placed in the churches. It was not to heal people. That was not the purpose of the gift. Did you know that? The purpose of the gift was to confirm the word of God that these people were of God.
That was the purpose of the gifts. And to another, effecting the miracles. Miracles. Things that could not be done by sight of hand. How many of you ever see Roger Danger? Or what's that guy's name? Roger? What? Well, no, the one that has the lions and makes everything disappear. And well, but there's another big guy. I mean, a big shot. David Copperfield. Yeah, that's him. He makes the Statue of Liberty and airplanes and all kinds of stuff disappear and appear and everything else. This is not sleight of hand we're talking about here. This is real miracles. Yeah. Affecting of real miracles. Miracles, something that cannot be explained. You can explain all that stuff. David Copperfield could tell you how you could do it. But miracles that he's talking about here weren't. Cannot be explained. Into another, prophecy. That means telling something before it was to happen. To another, distinguishing spirits. That was a gift from the church. Another, various kinds of languages. Get rid of the word tongue.
That's a word that will lead you astray. It means a language. Various languages. It means to be able to go to Africa and talk to anybody there in any land without ever having learned that language. Remember what happened at the Tower of Babel and the division of the earth? God did what? Not only did he divide the earth, but they seemed like what else did he do? Confounded the languages. On the day of Pentecost, those languages were temporarily unconfounded right there. Everybody heard everyone in his own tongue, it says. That's what it means, language. In his own language for the important.
You know, what about in different churches when the Holy Spirit speaks, there's a particular topic that's always in you, whatever, and then there's an interpreter also at the same time of the Holy Spirit that to the Spirit in the church.
All right. Well, we're going to study
that.
Well,
Paul talks about that in Acts 16, chapter 16. That was never in the churches of the Lord Jesus.
That was not.
Now, there's a lot of churches today that are doing this, yeah.
But that is not, that did not come from God. This gift of languages here was the gift to be able to stand up and tell the people that you did not. Well, first of all, God would tell them what to say for this language. Don't worry about what you're going to say. It's not speaking to us in this age, by the way. It was them back then. Okay? And they would get up and they would speak in the language of that people and they would remove the language. They didn't know it. Okay, now since we've been asked that question, go back to Acts 16 and 16. Let's see what where this practice came from that Bruce is talking about. Paul the Apostle, he's kind of wandering along here preaching the Word of God. In verse 16, in Acts the 16th chapter. And it happened that as we're going to the place of prayer, probably a synagogue, a certain slave girl having a spirit of a great snake. It means pythona. That's what it says in Greek. Python. A python. You know what a python is? Spirit of Lucifer. Okay? She had the spirit of a great snake. She met us, who was bringing her master's much profit by soothsaying or fortune telling. Okay? The word soothsaying here, you know what it means?
I wrote a thesis on this little verse one time from my master's degree. That's it. Mantu omane. Mantu omane. You know what the word maniac is? My word maniac comes out from this Greek word. That was any writing material. That's a hit. That's the thing, get it first. I can write it, somebody wants to go through. And people like, maniac, mantic fury. These people, this woman. Now, you can study history, go back in history and find out what this is all about. These people would get in a frenzy. They would have, she had people that were with her. You saw the people back there. She would get up and start talking to spirits in the language of the spirits. Babel. You know when they call Paul later on in the same chapter, I believe, here, they call him, you are a babbler. You know what they call him? They said, you're like this woman here, this girl. You have the spirit of a maniac. You have this, they only said in their names in here, but it means to talk in an unknown language to spirits. And then the person that's with you interprets to the group the prophecy that they have made. Now, this was not in the Lord's churches. Okay? And this was common back then. This is what happened back then. This is history. I'm not talking about fiction, this is history. This is what happened back then at this time. Okay? This Mantu Omane, that's what that word means. She was this type of a prophetess. This is what she did. Okay? You can go back and trace some history and study these people's religions, and that's exactly what they did. Okay? Now the churches, let's go a little bit further. Following after Paul, and she kept on, literally, that's the imperfect tense, she just kept on and kept on and kept on. They translated it right here, by the way. She kept on crying out,
saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God. Remember what I told you about? Don't always believe the spirits because they say they're of Jesus Christ. What is it saying here? What is the spirit of a tithona, of a python, a great snake, of certain Satan? What is he saying there? Recognizing. These are the bondservants of the Most High who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Not really what they were saying here. In Greek, this is about the most indefinite article you could ever put in there. It's inflected. But there's no word for the in there.
It's just, and he said the other day, there's people up talking about Jesus Christ, and they're saying, oh yeah, that's one of the ways of salvation. One of the ways through the big guy upstairs. But you know, the Bible says there is only one way.
Oh, she was saying all the right words, because you know what? These poor people that might even some of them be saved, she's still going to make money off them later, if she could. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. And these guys were dragged off into prison because the her masters, her owners,
had lost all the confidence. Paul cast out the spirit of the demons
of Lucifer out of her. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter again. There is
what is practiced in churches today is the gift of language. But it's not, never was. You understand what I'm talking about there?
There's a lot of churches that are. I mean, I don't know a lot of churches that are that.
Yeah.
But these churches that I've gone to, I mean, I thought there was a problem. I thought they were doing all those things.
Yeah. Paul is trying to correct these churches. He's trying to correct these churches. Let me tell you something.
If the gift of languages was still in existence today, it would be in the Lord's New Testament churches. Baptists would be good.
I can guarantee you that. Because we are the ones that had those gifts originally. But when the Bible came, when we had all the Word, we're going to find out that later on, when we had the complete Word of God, they shut themselves off. What do you do when you're... Do you have a dishwasher, please?
Have you got a washing machine?
Have you got a washing machine?
No.
You don't have a washing machine. Do you have a dryer?
No. Yeah, but
do you have a coffee? Do you have a coffee maker?
Yeah, but I don't use it.
Do you have anything that turns itself on and turns itself off?
I
have
a fire, yeah.
And this is in the middle voice, by the way, we're going to find it later on. When the Bible was completed, when it came to us, those gifts shut themselves off, even the gift of apostles. Did you know that John was no longer apostle when he penned the last words? Because the gift ceased. And it said it ceased for themselves. We're going to see that later. Let's go on here. All right. The healing of one spirit, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits. That's along with this thing. We only have three gifts left, by the way. Faith, hope, and what? Love. That's the remaining ones. When that which is perfect is done, that's the only thing that's going to remain. And that's what we have today. Another various kinds of languages. To another, interpretation of languages.
Someone could come and you would not have to know that language. God would give you the interpretation of it. If he come up to you and he might be saying, "Don't give him, give him, give him." You don't like this? He says, "Boy, that's what it sounds like, all right." But he might, "How can I be saved?" Maybe that's what he's saying. And they could tell what he's saying without ever having learned the language.
Why, you go look in the Catholic dictionary.
They got it right, too. They said the gift of language is what the ability to speak in a language before you study it. That's what it is.
And one of the things Spirit works all these things distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now these people were practicing something different. Some of them were practicing what we saw in Acts the 16th chapter. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all members of the body, he's talking about what? He's talking about the churches. Individual churches. Though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And in one Spirit, we all are baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are made to drink of one Spirit. Okay? When you go forward and join a New Testament church, you're usually...
The pastor asks you, so-and-so to come up here and you just start to join your church, what do you think? You know? Ask the church, that's all, maybe vote on some church, maybe vote on the people of the church.
And they vote for us. One Spirit.
They don't want me to leave.
No, we want you to stay, Bruce. I think. I can't speak for everybody, but I do. All right. So the body is one member that has many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Some of these people were going out and they want to do their own thing. A lot of people today don't want to serve God under New Testament churches. They want to do it their own way. God set it aside in this age for us to serve Him His way. And if you're going to get paid for what you're doing, you have to do it His way. See? We talked about many times, talked about Eddie, if he went down and worked for somebody else, and he was supposed to be over here working for Gary, and he would all be gone a couple of weeks, come back and say, where's my money? To Gary, he's not going to get paid. We're not talking about salvation here, by the way. We're talking about reward. Salvation is of God only. Nothing you can do for your salvation or keep it. It's His. He paid for it. We're baptized one body, for the body is members. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less any part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, there would, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed members, each one of them, in the body just as He desires. See, we were talking about that today, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about nobody's the
same.
You know, we have different talents. We do. And if we were all members, or all one member, where would the body be? Bunch of heads rolling around on the ground, how would they get someplace when they wanted to go? How would you have your head laying on the ground and just roll over there? Just kind of nod a little bit, how would you nod without having the neck? Can you imagine a bunch of heads trying to roll around? That's what Paul is talking about here. He's trying to teach these people something. And he's using things that are so foolish. Because you know why? They're ignorant little children. He calls them speechless babies and things like that. Like a squalling little brat that don't even know how to say a word, all he knows what how to do.
Give me a bottle.
I'm hungry. And that's what they want. Paul called them brainless. Speechless babies. Now he tells them, you work together. Quit fighting. Quit all wanting, trying to be one. Big shot, one big leader. They all wanted to be the leaders. Somebody asked me on the radio yesterday, and she asked, I told her I thought I was American Indian. She said, I guess you've got an Indian princess in your family. And I said, well, Ilatika. That was her name. But you know what? I explained to her, there were no such thing as an Indian princess. No Indian kings, they had white men called them. An Indian leader was a leader only as long as he was a leader. If he was no longer good for the tribe, then he was no longer a leader. He only got that honor by being honorable. And only kept it that long. And he only had one voice. Everybody in the tribe had one. That's all it was. There were no princesses and chiefs or chief. They didn't come from the Indian people. and from white people. They wanted to make somebody so they could sign a paper like
they do for you, you know. Mexico wants to rip the United States off, they sign a treaty. And the woman signed for all the foreign monies out here going all the time.
That's what they wanted the Indians to do. To let one person sign the rest of them away. But that wasn't Indian culture. That was their culture. They came from Europe. They've been doing that over Europe for thousands of years, you know. One person signing the rest of them away. But it happened that way here. That wasn't the custom. Let's go on to verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Niney was trying to tell me all about real estate today, and I said, Niney, it just bores me to death. She said, yeah, but you're so smart in the Bible. I said, yeah, I study the Bible every time I get a chance. Well, if I was to read a book on real estate, it would be printed chloroform to me. I just snooze. That's the way to go to sleep. Yeah, and I love mechanical work.
She can't do it.
But see, we have different abilities. Okay? And that's what we need to remember. Now, those members of the body which we deem less honorable, remember what I've told you many times, the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Just remember that. We as teachers and things, we get a lot of glory here. But I tell you what, those church members that come and they give and they never say a word, some of them are going to be highly honored by the Lord. Yeah. Because maybe that's all they can do, but they do it well. On these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, that God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. You know what the book of James is talking about over there? It tells them, those rich people, oh, you rich people, howl and mourn. What he's telling them, to go to the sick and take oil and anoint them and care for them? He's telling you, rich people, we'll get you some oil that you've been saving up and go help these people. You get down there in these poor people's houses, the ones that are sick, and help them. Give them medicine. Take care of them. Feed them. Clothe them with your riches. That's what he's telling them. Do that. Get off your high horses. You rich people, step back with all your jewelry, and you come back with your rings on every finger and probably on the toes, and the nose, and see people with rings in their nose laying all around their ears. This is what these people were back then. Had all this gold showing. Women wear.
You've got a chicken with a ring in its teeth.
What?
You've got a chicken with a ring.
It's not a ring. It's not a chicken.
I'm just kidding you.
Chucker.
Just kidding you.
You know, I have to confine.
Ring in its teeth.
I don't want to say love to my neighbors.
But really, they wore all of their wealth, and they displayed it. A girl displayed all of her wealth to suitors. She wore all of her coins and everything all over her. And Jesus talked about it in one of the parables, that the woman that lost the coin and swept the house, this was her wealth. She was ready for her husband. And Jesus expects his bride to have the same care that a human would on this earth for her husband. As though in covenant relationship with God could have one him. Teaches you a lot of things when it opens your eyes and corrects your vision, doesn't it? Corrective seeing. No division of the body. Now you are Christ's body and individual members. And God has appointed in the church first what?
What are you appointing the church first? What was the first gift? Apostles.
All right. Apostles. When did he do that? Back there over in Galilee, didn't he? When he called the church out. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then, well, you didn't even have to learn. You didn't have to be a prophet. You didn't have to study to be a prophet back then. You just jumped up and God filled your mouth. You didn't have to study to be a teacher. God gave you the gift of teaching. Today, if you're going to be a good teacher, you better get with it. Get into the book. This book, right here. That one. Get into it. Why, Mr. Barber there, when you wanted to teach, you just jumped up and said one day, I'm a teacher. I got your job, didn't you? That's not the way it works, is it? Oh, I don't think so. It takes a lot of schooling and it takes continuous schooling. Right. Why, if we do that for the secular world, why do we not want to do it for God? You know, when God calls you as a teacher, He calls you with a high calling, doesn't He? How greater calling? What greater calling did you have? Why every day I see Mary come to teach and Lila teach? That's a high calling. Eddie gets up here and preaches and teaches. That's a high calling. And when I have the opportunity to teach to you, that is a great, great calling. It is an honor.
He says, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, various kinds of languages, are all not apostles? All are not apostles, are they? Were every one of the every church member an apostle?
No.
All right. But these wanted to be, didn't they? That's what they wanted. We have people being corrected. God's trying to put glasses on them so they can see better. And this is the church, by the way. These are saved people. Are all are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? He's asking them. These gifts that are placed in the church, is every one of you working miracles? Is every one of you going and teaching people in foreign lands, in languages? Is every one of you a prophet? Is every one of you a great teacher? Is every one of